Look, there we are. We're live. Good. Friday morning. Good morning, everybody. It is the weekend, baby. I haven't said that in ages.
And
Feels good.
I haven't been here on a Friday in ages, so I haven't heard in a long time.
The whole reason we moved the show to once a week was just so that you could come in for that first hour and have less traffic.
Friday traffic is completely different to Monday. I've told you that I've arrived here
before,
my boobs hanging out of my bra from all of the dodging that I've had to do, and it's like an obstacle course getting here. No wastepreneurs today, no stray cats.
How lucky for you. See, it's all worked out. The universe is, it's now working in our favor. This is terrific.
Thank you.
This is very good. All right. Where is everybody? Well, our president is in Japan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's there. He was saying, he's just so schmarmy and like wheedling and.
Old cupcake.
Yeah. He says to the delegation at some, I don't know, some trade federation or whatever he's meeting with. They're probably like, oh, this guy again. Oh, I'll see him one more time. I'll ask you, could I kill myself? Anyway, so he arrives and he goes, we're not here for aid. We're here to trade. Like he thinks, well, I mean, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much what he was saying. And the reason he's doing that is because he knows that once these Trump tariffs kick in, you know, our exporters, prices in this country, all sorts of things are going to be affected horribly. I mean, we spoke to that guy from that company in the Eastern Cape who manufacture all that that stuff in the automobile sector. Yeah, it's just it is a disaster, and it's all self-imposed. It's like this has been done because our government couldn't get to the negotiating table on time. So now they're trying to patch it up with him flying to Japan and everything. It's just crazy. So that's where he is. We're here live on a Friday morning. What can I tell you? We've changed the – show them the whole studio thing there. Let's see what that looks like. There we go. Look, we got a nice morning skyline. It looks great. What do you think, James?
I think it looks fantastic.
Oh, there we go. James is back, by the way. He's back from his trip to Jeffreys Bay. We're visiting the one traffic light there, which is just wonderful, isn't it?
I love Jeffreys Bay.
You like it.
Yeah, not in the peak season.
No.
Off season.
That's why James goes in the middle of winter.
Yeah, yeah.
When no one else in the world wants to be there, like the shittiest time, but that's when he takes it to go there. I don't know. It does feel this week, and I don't want to jump the gun here, it feels like summer's peeping through a little bit. Yes, it does. It feels good.
It was, 27 degrees yesterday?
I was in a t-shirt yesterday, man.
I've been in a t-shirt for a week
now. Awesome. Love it.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that'll stay the whole way through the rest of August into September. Although I know there's always like an ugly, mean, witchy kind of grab you by
August-y,
the balls.
Windy
That's still going to happen. I just don't want it to happen too soon. So I had either a cold or flu or whatever, but Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was kind of on the route to recovery, and then yesterday I was fine. So it's just as well we didn't have like three shows this week, because I would have missed two anyway. But I blew my nose so many times that my nose went all red, like the red nose of an alcoholic. Or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah. You could be more cheery about that one.
It was not a good look, hey? I was like, I looked like an Asterix cartoon.
And it becomes painful too.
Oh God! Well, that's exactly what happened.
You get those soft tissues for nasal issues.
So I looked fantastic. Anyone who saw me on those days, like, what the hell's up with that guy?
There's also a weird gastro thing going around.
All right, pooing. Have you had that?
Not me, family. Okay. Yeah.
Thank God you didn't.
Yeah.
I brought it here this morning.
I thought I had it one morning, but it disappeared by lunch. It was just a fart.
All right, we've got to talk about this picture from this week while we're talking about newsy stuff like where our president is. Well, the president of the United States on Monday, he just summoned all the leaders of Europe. Like you know how the headmaster calls you to his office?
It's more of a boss thing, that you're going about your day normally and then suddenly there's this, drop everything.
Well, yeah, everybody has to like report to the office. Yeah. And then they were all sitting outside the Oval Office on like chairs, but in a row. Like you would wait at the dentist's office, for example, if you had an appointment to have your teeth cleaned or something. Everybody just sits in those chairs and they kind of just look ahead. Maybe they talk to each other a little bit, but they're kind of waiting for something to happen. And who's next? And what's the queue like? How far am I along?
You know, like an audition.
It's like an audition. That's probably a good way to put it. So they had Emmanuel Macron, Giorgia Meloni from Italy, Keir Starmer, Ursula von der Leyen from the EU. Look at them.
Oh my gosh. They do look,
right?
They look like they know they're in trouble.
It's so great. I just love that. And then.
But also, look at the uniform.
Yeah, I know. It's just great. Isn't it terrific? You know, people think that power is a made up and performative thing. But these people in that picture, they all know which dog bites and which dog barks.
They've all got stomach cramps right now.
Oh, for sure.
One of them's just
and they're all there because they're going to try and discuss the plan for peace. You remember Trump met with Putin in Alaska on, I think it was Saturday or Sunday. And like literally 2 days later, he summoned all these EU leaders, including Zelensky of the Ukraine, to the White House. And then he said to them, guys, this is how it's going to be. This is what we're going to do. Now, there's a lot that's still up in the air. We don't know whether he's actually going to be able to pull this off, whether there's any deal in the making at all. But it certainly feels like there's a lot more urgency. Apparently, during this meeting, while he had all of them arranged in seats around his desk in the Oval Office, he took the initiative because someone said, well, how about if we do this? And he went, oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to call Vladimir Putin right now. So he like walked out in the garden on his cell phone, called Vladimir Putin, apparently threw the idea against the wall, saw what happened. And this is the kind of thing, because one of the European leaders said to him, well, you know, we can certainly look at doing that in a month or two. He's like, in a month or two? Yeah, how many people are going to die between now and then? He wants to sort this out. Now, whether you like Donald Trump or you don't, and many people don't like him for all kinds of reasons, some of them are quite valid, you have to admit that it's abundantly clear the guy does not like war. Like, he's just totally, totally anti-war. Anti-war is a good position, you know? Turns out that's quite popular.
Yeah. Well, he's obviously seeing the bigger picture and the effects that it has on things that are important to him.
Yeah, but it would be really nice if he could just help stop that war. And I think it would be...
Do you think he's stopping it to save lives, or do you think it's to save his own agenda?
If lives get saved, does it matter? Like, you can look at this either way, right? You can look at it from the position that you are now. Is it about his legacy, ego? I'm the great deal maker. You know, it could be. But if it saves lives, isn't that okay?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Then it's fine. Then we must all accept that that's all right. Even Hillary Clinton came to that very strange conclusion because she said, sure. I mean, Hillary Clinton, not a fan of Donald Trump, right? No. She said, if he pulls this off, I myself, this is Crooked Hillary, I will nominate him for the Nobel Prize.
Wow.
Crooked Hillary. Not bad.
Yeah, big statement.
Here is a video. I've got to show you this. Have you got that video of that old lady? You know how I've become less and less sociable? I'm trying again. You know, I went out for a lunch on Wednesday, which was lovely. I've been seeing a lot of the family. I've invited a friend and his wife for dinner next week. I'm getting out there and doing things. I'm not being totally boring. And I think winter makes all of us a little bit, you know, less social. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this is funny because I found the perfect person to answer my invitations when I don't want to go to something.
Oh, yeah?
And this woman is just perfect. She didn't audition. I don't know her, but I'm going to find out where she lives and I'm going to hire her as a
is
permanent.
Is it AI or?
No, it's a real person.
Oh.
Yeah. someone's gran or whatever, but she has a, let's just say she has the perfect way of dealing with an invitation. So have a look at this. Oh, you're still busy? Okay, so new set, new show, same bullshit. It's just terrific.
Some things have to stay the same.
Speaking of things staying the same, Dr. Hanan is still on the Friday show, so he's going to be with us at 6:45, as usual. Very important not to upset the lunatic asylum, right?
No, you can't.
To keep the one thing you know about the crazies is they know what time their pills arrive, they know what time supper is, they know what time
consistent.
They open the bars, you know? They got to keep those crazies happy. So we have our own live-in psychologist, Dr. Hanan Bushkin. He's going to be on at 6:45, just like he used to be on Mondays, except now we've moved it to Fridays. Okay.
Everybody on board.
Everybody okay? Are you in your padded room? Good. Okay, that's terrific. You know, we really need lunatic asylums.
We still have them, but they're...
No. We need more and bigger ones. Why do you laugh?
Did you remember? Because I drive past Tara every day.
Yeah, but that's not a lunatic asylum.
Gareth, I don't want to say, but anyway.
And they used to treat people who had anorexia there, for heaven's sake.
My brother, years ago, was driving near there, because, you know, it's like a shortcut if you don't want to go on the main roads.
Yeah, sure.
And he was going around a traffic circle.
Valuable piece of real estate, by the way.
Mm.
That must be some of the most expensive property in
Absolutely.
The world. I would bulldoze those fucking lunatics right into the ground. And
you've just said we need more asylums.
Yeah, but we build it far. Listen, build it out in the Karoo for all I care. We don't need them nearby.
He was driving around a traffic circle and a woman plowed into him and basically and wrote off his car.
Oh, she was in a car as well?
Yes.
She didn't do this on her own. She didn't plow into him like...
No,
like she
not
was
some like kind a running bull.
She was like an X-Man mutant.
She wasn't a buffalo.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And wrote his car off and said something and then drove off. And she was an escapee from Tara.
Oh, she'd escaped that day?
She had escaped and got into her own car. She'd been locked in there and she found a way to get out. She got into her own car
wonder
and
what she was in
fled.
There. I wonder what she was in there for.
And wrote my brother's car off. How bizarre.
Wow. And they can be, some of these people can be aggressive. I mean, I saw, you probably have seen this as well. It's certainly not my favorite thing to talk about this on a Friday morning, but you've seen a lot of these stories in the news lately about these parents who kill their kids or whatever. You know, there've been a couple of these incidents over the last maybe year or two that have made the news. And I can't even remember the kids' names because when a story like that comes up, you know, I kind of boast about not paying attention to the news much anymore. But when a story like that comes up, I want to block it out.
We don't really learn the names of the children.
They will say baby Jessie name is, you know, or his name is. Yeah, so they often will have these stories in the news. When they come on, I'm just like, I can't. I just scroll past or switch to another channel. And I know that that's probably, for some people, that's missing the point. You need to know what's going on. And
yeah, but that's like, you don't need to know what's going on.
I really
if
think,
I see a lion kill and I change the channel, I didn't
see,
need to know what was going on.
I don't want
to
see like animal abuse videos on YouTube, you know, or social media generally. I don't like seeing snuff films for the same reason. I just don't like allowing that stuff into my world. I sound like a real hippie and kind of, that's not part of my reality. But it's really unpleasant.
Yeah.
And when I hear stories like that, I'm like, those people should be in institutions, the people who commit those crimes, because we've got very, very bad people.
Yeah.
You know, people who ordinarily, I mean, I'll show you a video just now of a woman in a store who clearly has something wrong with her. There's something, the wires are not connecting in her head. And she does this thing where she, you can see she vacillates between, hi, I can calm down to like raving, like a ranting, like a lunatic. Like
she's having an episode.
Yeah, it's bad. And a lot of those people You know, in the old days, and it's not, I'm not talking about during even my lifetime, but I assume during the lifetime of my parents or grandparents, they used to have institutions that would be places, first of all, to protect those people from themselves, but also to protect society from them.
But they still are. It's just they don't call them those anymore.
Well, they should be full to the brim.
There was that woman.
We surely have to build another one.
It was that woman who worked at the SABC. She was an actress on one of the soapies. And she...
Well, that would drive anyone crazy.
Did something horrible to her son with an iron.
Oh, my God. The real life person or the soap actress?
The real life person.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like the character on the soap opera.
She ended up in one of those asylums. What are they called on the far west rand? What was it called?
Vescopis. So Dr. Robin says, I did my psych block at Tara in fifth year. It definitely is more than an eating disorder place.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I know, but there are people there who are not raving lunatics.
Look, I've been...
You're not even allowed to use the word lunatic, apparently.
I've been in a psych ward before for 3 weeks.
Yeah, but that's where you should be. That's exactly my point. Like we people like you roaming the streets, it makes it very unsafe for the rest of us.
A woman who had just burnt her house down.
It was you.
No, it was.
Yes, you were the person.
She was the one kicking my table and screaming at me to stop snoring.
I've known you a long time. All right. Why the one time we went for breakfast after the show? Did you have a box of matches? You kept lighting them and putting them in the ashtray. Why was that? That was exactly around that time that the friend's house caught fire. Yeah. I know what I'm dealing with. Anyway.
No,
okay, yeah. So here's the crazy woman. I actually wanted to save this for Dr. Hanan, but you know what? Sometimes if you're here, I'm here. Let's start the day. Let's go. So here's the crazy woman in the shop.
Can I put my hand on you?
No.
Tatanka!
Okay, you need to calm down or you're going to end up at the jail.
You're going to end up at the jail.
Okay, well, that's great. Then I'll have a day off, I guess.
What do I got to say to make you get out of my life? I have the power! I have the power of Baraboo! I can sue Baraboo! The Ottawa will sue you!
Are you going to listen to him or not?
My husband will sue the Baraboo! I will die! Okay. For what is right, my brothers!
Time to leave. Time to leave.
Okay, I'll listen to you, Conley. I'm sorry.
I'm going to take you to jail for disorderly conduct.
Okay. Try it. I dare
you. Is that what you want to happen?
Don't make me say it, but I will curse you! I'm suing you.
Relax. Don't.
Get your hands off me!
Don't.
Please be gentle with me! I am pregnant! An Egyptian baby! I am a Navajo baby in me! I am a mixed breed baby in me!
Amanda, hop in!
Go.
You are going to purgatory! You are on the purgatory list!
Sure, she's spitting venom.
Yeah, but that kind of person should just be put in there. I mean, I don't know if she's crazy.
Don't mess with a pregnant woman, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know if she's crazy, but that one, she should be locked up. If you behave like that in public, you should. There should not be a reason for the rest of us to have to tolerate that sort of behavior.
So what they did with women like that is they would give
just
them
women.
A hysterectomy.
As well. Yes, because they were hysterical.
Because of them being hysterical, they'd remove their womb.
Well, it would certainly calm them down. I'm not saying I'm for it, but it would certainly calm a lot of people down. I mean, the anesthetic, you know, having a major part of your body cut out. You know? I'm in favor of lobotomies, too. You know, I've always been.
Those are not very safe.
They did that with Rosemary Kennedy.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, my favorite version
of that
story. She used
to fondle someone under the table.
Yeah, Rosemary Kennedy was the eldest daughter of... This is such a great story. So, Joseph and Rose Kennedy, the mother. Their eldest daughter was Rosemary. And she was born with some sort of intellectual disability. And they decided to lobotomize her. It was at the time they were doing that as a kind of experimental treatment.
Well, like a groundbreaking...
Yeah, they would essentially... sever the frontal cerebral cortex from the rest of the brain, which makes you into an automaton. You don't have highs or lows. You don't have feelings, really. You're just completely numb.
It's completely immoral.
Of course it is. It's horrendous, but it's a great story. It makes me laugh.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, call me what you will. But she was a problem. So before they gave her the lobotomy, she would be invited because the Kennedys had like 20 children or whatever.
They were breeders.
Jesus. No, well, they were Catholics in the 1920s. Mm. There was nothing else to do. Rose, what's on the television? Oh, we don't have television. Rose, where are the board games? Oh, they've been put away, the board games. Rose, what are we having for supper? Oh, we've eaten already. All right, Rose, I guess we'll make another child. Anyway, so that's what happened. Rosemary was born with this, you know, she was like rambunctious.
Mm-hmm.
So she would sit at the dinner table with the rest of the Kennedy family. He was the ambassador to Britain under the Roosevelt administration, right? Quite a big job. So Court of St. James, you got fancy guests coming to your American ambassador's house in London. It was a fairly important job. And Rosemary would do stuff like start fingering herself at the table. So she'd be like, while she was at the dinner table. And can you believe that, Flex? Can you imagine someone at a fancy white tie dinner, like a, you know, embassy ball, and Rosemary Kennedy's busy, like, having a go, man?
Oh, no.
So they said no. Look, I mean, imagine you. Yes, I find it most invigorating.
Oh, so gross.
Anyway, so Rosemary, they decided, Joseph, the dad, the ambassador, father of JFK and RFK and all the rest of them, he decided no.
Off with her head.
We can't have this.
Off with her brain.
He's like, yeah, but she's embarrassing me. Oh, I'm going to do something about it. So he took her to some doctor who was experimenting with this stuff. And he lobotomized her. It was one of the first, certainly one of the first kind of famous cases of this. They tried to keep it very hush-hush.
Are there photographs of her after?
Yes, and she died in the early 2000s. So she lived a long time after the lobotomy. I mean, she was the eldest daughter, right? I think she outlived most of her siblings.
What a life.
But she was just like a vegetable. She would just sit there and like. In fact, she was part of the motivation that her sister, who became a Shriver and was Maria Shriver's mother, she started the Special Olympics.
Oh, I see.
As part of her motivation for what they did to Rosemary. But she was a real problem, Rosemary. I mean, she'd pump the dog and she was disastrous. I mean, she, you know, starts squealing like a pig and roll around on the floor. And there's definitely a lot wrong there, but people like that used to be, we used to put them in a building far away from the rest of us.
Yeah. No, now they're right in the same hospital as you.
That's not acceptable. I mean,
when I say they, I mean the likes of me.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I would be terrified to be in a hospital ward with you. I'd rather go home and take my chances.
It was a scary place. Yeah.
How long were you in for?
3 weeks.
God.
Yeah.
Did they give you a cup full of pills every day?
Ooh, I was on a lot of medication.
Well, it didn't fix you. I mean, you're still
it did fix me.
You still, you need a lot of
I
pills.
Had just been through a major breakup.
You need
during
more
which
pills.
I'd suffered physical and emotional abuse.
But if you need pills, I'll go there with you to the psychiatrist.
No, but they did,
we'll get you a whole bunch.
They wanted me to partake in
ritual,
daily activities.
Ritual sacrifice.
Where you colored in or you made freaking mosaics or butterflies or something. And I said, there is no way.
I can't imagine
doing
you doing the coloring in.
I took in my laptop and I worked the whole way through. And everybody else would go off. In fact, one of my roomies came back with a coloring in thing she'd done for me, a peacock. I still got it. I'm scared to throw it away. But no, I didn't partake in those activities. They made dream catchers and things like that.
Oh, yeah. That's very popular among the lunatics. Mm-hmm. Are you allowed to use the word lunatic anymore?
Probably
not.
Can
you say that? You can't use the word retard. Okay.
But the...
Speaking of which, is this acceptable? Because I saw this ad for a particular piece of equipment, apparently you now buy should you have a relative like this. Go ahead and show everybody, James. We were going to build one in the studio, actually. And
like a big device?
You'll see. You'll see in a minute. You know which one I'm talking about? Okay, yeah. The cage, James. cage. Yes. Didn't I send you that video?
Yes.
Jesus.
Guess who's going in first?
I'm putting you in it. James, I sent you the video. Remember? Yes, this is an actual ad for. God, I'm telling you, like sometimes the lunatic asylum comes to you. You don't go to it. Anyway, here is an ad for a particular piece of equipment, a device, as Leanne puts it, that I think may pick up maybe lots of people who want one of these.
Could be helpful.
Yeah, it could be very helpful. And in situations where there's someone in your house or your family, like a Rosemary Kennedy, instead of taking her and like chopping off the front of her brain, which seems a bit barbaric, I'll admit, it's a bit severe.
Talk about cutting-edge surgery.
Well, it was at the time.
Yeah.
But instead of doing that, maybe you just install one of these.
Are you tired of your TARD escaping all the time? Keep that chromosomal hellspawn contained with a TARD cage. Humanely designed with anti-TARD rage technology. You'll be glad you purchased.
Look, it's that's severe, I admit. But it's actually for sale. You saw there's a number you can call.
No.
I don't know. I think you probably only buy it in America.
No, that's terrible.
Oh, is it terrible? Is it? You don't think it's a good idea to install one here in the studio?
No.
I mean, it would be perfect for James. I'm going to ask the comments section if they would agree. I mean,
You can always rely on your comment section.
All right. While we're waiting for that, because we do have, we've got lots of stuff to get to today. We've got a full 3 hours. Oh, look, there's James. There he is. See, you can see James on the screen. And can we hear you? Okay, good. Because up to now, people were complaining. You hear this funny voice in the background. Yes. Show them Flex as well while we're in that horrible room of yours. There he is. Look at Flex is basically in it. He wears his hoodie 365 days of the year.
He lives in his
hoodie. He does. All right, so that's the producers. Look at those idiots. Look at them. That's what I'm going to deal with. That's our Todd cage right there.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you didn't come here for political correctness, did you?
This is true.
All right, so while we're going to do comments and everything else, Leanne is going to tell us about the internet's best secretive websites. This sounds dodgy. Already I'm worried. But considering what we've already discussed this morning, there's nothing dodgy that could possibly impress either you, me, or Leanne. So let's go. The most secretive websites. Here we are. Brought to you by Leanne Moll.
So this is compiled by Savvy Gamer.
Okay.
There's a website called...
How is she?
Oh, very progressive of you to assume it's a she.
I did. Is it a she?
I have no idea.
Okay. Savvy Gamer. We're sorry if we misgendered you there, but let's go.
MostExclusiveWebsite.com a website which allows only one user to visit at a time.
Oh.
So it's all about the singularity of the experience.
What happens there if it's so exciting?
I tried to go in myself because I was promised an interactive, quasi-meditative digital interstice, completely immersive and without distraction. So I entered my details. I was in fourth place.
Oh, but you didn't get in.
Well, I kind of got distracted, went off to go and do something else. Found a hair on my chin that I needed to pluck.
So you missed
out. And I lost my place in
the queue. No. Okay. But that's the most exclusive website in the world.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So I mean,
wants to give it a whirl.
You know, I mean, if you're looking for things to put on your CV, let's say you're applying for a new job. You're looking for something new in your world. You need stuff to say you've done, right? And most people, they say they've climbed Mount Everest or they've swum
courses.
In the Arctic. They've gone and done a course in coloring in. But you could say, I was one of the few guests on the most exclusive website in the world on the 22nd of August.
That's called mostexclusivewebsite.com.
Mostexclusivewebsite.com. All right, what else?
This one you'll like, but you have to pay. You have to pay monthly, like 88 Rand. Mm-hmm. Yearly is 49 per month.
Yeah.
And yearly elite is 89 per month. But I think this is something you might enjoy. It's called geoguesser.com.
Oh, let me, can I guess?
You can guess her.
All right, so this would be a website that gives you a picture of some geographical feature or place in the world or building or map or something, and it says, where are we?
Yeah.
And you have to guess.
So it's a little bit more engaging. It's a location-based video game where you are taken to a random Google Street View, and you have to guess where
you are. I could play this.
So you need your geography, your history, your culture,
knowledge.
I
would love that. You know, there was a time, and I always say I'm not a gamer, but there was a time where I was very into those city builder games.
Yeah.
But I'm talking years ago, right? And I just loved like terraforming the place that you're going to build the city in and then installing all your streets, all your sewers, your water pipes, all of that stuff. It was lots of fun.
I think I've seen you before on the corner of Santon Drive where you were digging holes and fixing pipes.
Digging holes and planting pipes there. Yeah, it's my favorite thing. That's what I like to do. Just by the way, Signet wants to know, is the cage or the person for sale in that ad? I don't know, but why don't you try?
You saw the number. You saw the number.
Signet also says, rumor has it that James went for a lobotomy while he was on leave. Slippery Pickle wants to know, with these exclusive sites of yours, knowing Leanne, it must be an S&M site.
Oh, wow.
That's
your opinion.
That is such character assassination. Rebellious Ruth says, my son had an appendectomy 5 days ago in hospital, but the ladies and gents that work there are brilliant, she said.
Hmm.
Well, that's good to know. At least they didn't give him the wrong kind of operation. Like, what if he and Rosemary Kennedy were in there at the same time? Okay. Gareth, whatever season that blue you're wearing is, it definitely works for you. Looking suave, says B. I've had this shirt in my cupboard for, I don't know, like a year and a half.
Mm.
I've just never had a reason to wear it. I always thought it was too jolly. And then this morning I thought, you know, screw this. It's Friday. We're all in a good mood.
Too jolly.
It's too jolly. It's just too jolly. It's like,
No. Yes.
And then I thought maybe it's like, you know, because it's a, what do you call this?
Tartan.
Is it a tartan? I think it's more like a plaid shirt or something.
Plaid shirt, yes.
So often I see a lot of lesbians wearing these.
Yes.
Right?
It is a go-to.
And lumberjacks.
Mm-hmm.
Canadians, a lot of Canadians like to wear these.
Builder's Warehouse.
Sure. So I thought maybe that's not the good reason, but I do like this. Yeah. I think I shall wear it again. But thank you, B. Retard is back, judging by my social media feeds and podcasts, says Mo Rabbit. Yeah, but listen, some people never really gave up on that stuff, hey?
Mm.
Down with the cage, says someone else. Yes. That's fine. I love that cage, says Lee. Minimalistic. Some of you people really need help, hey? And then some people are saying,
they need help.
I'm half an hour behind in watching today's podcast, but that photo of the European leaders waiting in the passage is confirmed as AI false. You know, this is happening a lot where people are putting things into AI and saying, is this true or false? And then it turns out the AI believes it's false or true, depending.
Mm.
And then the AI is wrong.
Mm.
Do you know that AI gets a lot of its information? And obviously, some AI engines are better than others. We've talked about AI so much, I'm blue in the face talking about this stuff. But we don't know whether it's using the right sources or not. It could be plugging into the whole of the internet. And the whole of the internet's also got a lot of bullshit in it. So
yeah, of course.
The AI doesn't always
know of made up stuff.
What's right and wrong. It just uses an accumulation of all the available information, and sometimes the available information is bullshit. You know, some absurd figure of something like 30% of Americans that were asked about this believe the moon landing was fake.
Mm.
I mean, 30%. 30%. Now, those people are also on the internet, right? So if AI is asked, was the moon landing faked, and it happens to scour the wrong parts of the internet, or it in some way weighs that part of the internet more heavily. Let's say, you know, one person who's a flat earther is otherwise regarded quite highly in the scientific community. I mean, I'm taking the most bizarre and ridiculous example. And AI happens to grade that article above some other article. Maybe it's in the search engines, it's been heavily weighted or whatever. You know, all of these things are manipulable. And then it decides, well, flat earth seems like a reasonable thing. You have to be able to apply your mind. Now, it is entirely possible that that photograph is fake, that photograph of the leaders outside Trump's office. It's not important whether it's fake or not. That's how they behaved. And when they were in the room, in a photograph which I have of all of them sitting around his desk arranged in chairs, which you could see is a real photograph, it was released by the White House, they are all like at the king's feet asking for a pittance, right? That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
So you've got to be able to figure these things out on your own. Some of the stuff you'll have to do the heavy lifting yourself.
It was a video.
AI's not going to help you, Rosemary Kennedy.
It was a video of bunnies jumping on a trampoline that had everyone confused at one time. Yeah, which was fake.
Look, a lot of the stuff on the internet. Most people you meet are fake. You know, exactly. This is the craziest thing, right?
The way they portray their lives on social media is fake.
Of course. Everybody's like, oh, we need more authenticity. Most people are incapable of being authentic because they're shallow, boring, uninteresting, dull people who don't have any opinions on anything until someone else tells them what to think. And most of them use ChatGPT. ChatGPT, should I drink water today? They do. This is what's actually happening. So a lot of shallow, stupid, inauthentic people are already basically like AI lying to you or like fake pictures or anything else. Just remember, everybody, it wasn't that long ago, and people over the age of 40 will remember, that we used to have tabloid newspapers and tabloid magazines that used to print stories about people having alien babies.
That was the People magazine.
Right.
I mean, not to
growing horns out of their assholes and things. And we knew it was nonsense, but nobody
needed to. My gran believed all of that.
But your gran probably liked believing all of that. Gave her
a reason. Anything that was in the People magazine was real.
Fantastic. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. But you have to realize there's always been fake bullshit. Doesn't matter. Whatever happened to Mash, my child? He's my only adoptive child, says Limited Edition. Actually, Mash is popping in today. And we're going to mix it up. So I see a lot of questions about how the show is going to work. It's none of your business. Either you watch, you listen, or you don't. Just come for the party. Come for the party, stay for the food. That's the way I see it. I'll tell you how it all works. How? Come and watch. Come and see. Come and join in the fun. Rumor has it, okay, no, people are still talking about James having a lobotomy. That's no good. The Zim newspaper stories were the best, Mo Rabbit says. Do you remember those stories from Zimbabwe?
But what was that local paper we had here too?
Isolezwe?
No. We interviewed the editor because they had stories of people.
The Daily Sun?
The Daily Sun.
Yes.
Walking up the aisle and the bride's trail. Of her train of her dress turned into a snake, and how the congregation were screaming, and we were like, "How do you write this shit?" He's like, "I write the stories that people tell me."
Correct, even if they.
So he's not technically not lying.
Of course,
he's just writing the stories that people tell him.
Those papers have always been there. Mm-hmm. Those people, the clickbait has always been a thing, even before we knew what a click was. Yeah. Okay, so. Let's get back into it here. My Zimbabwe. Thanks, Mapelo. That's
my
exactly
Zimbabwe.
Right. My Zimbabwe. What a tremendous source of news. We love it. We endorse them completely. That's real journalism.
Yeah.
Okay, what other websites you got for us?
There is a very useful one, WiFox, W-I-Fox. It's not a website, but it's an app.
Yeah.
It's a continuously updated map of wireless passwords from airports and airport lounges worldwide.
That's very handy.
Updated in real time, verified by travelers, pilots, reliable sources. It's on the App Store and Google Play for $1.99.
Okay.
No in-app purchases or ads. And airport wireless updates are free
That's
for life.
That's very useful. Okay, good.
IHaveNoTV.com.
IHaveNoTV.com.
It's actually a really good collection. I went onto it of BBC-style documentaries. So history, physics, science, astronomy.
Okay, sounds good.
And then there's Gutenberg.org, widely known as Project Gutenberg, which I've seen before, but it reminded
me. They're keeping a record of every book.
Yes, it's a library of over 75,000 free e-books.
Right.
So basically it's older works for which
the classics
the
and all of that
copyright
stuff.
Has expired sure. in the US.
So you know the Brontes are suing them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Emily Bronte and her sisters, they're like, we've had enough of this. Because oh, back dear. In the 1700s when they wrote their books.
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah.
They were doing it for the money. Those women didn't care about art, literature. They were doing it for the money. Like, where's my money? Jane Eyre.
Mm.
You know, you can't write these things and then... Someone comes along a couple of years later, okay, a couple of hundred years later, and
they yeah.
start printing your stuff for free. Don't help people by giving
don't
stuff for free.
Help, don't no. let them learn.
Must
the
always
world.
Observe the copyright.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to the lady who had 9 babies at once, says Bitcoin Bot. Yeah, I remember. They still don't know whether that was true or not. Remember there was that fake story, or maybe it wasn't fake.
Wasn't
it? But that chick who gave birth to like 9 kids.
Not Octagon Mom, but that's 8 kids.
I don't know. I don't know what it was.
It was Octagon Mom. And yeah, yeah. I've seen that she's still around.
And there was even a fundraising thing they did for that mom. Mm. Remember? Anyway. Am I the she's only one around. Who misses those Daily Sun Tokolosh stories? No limited edition, you are not.
But there
those
would be
were
actual
amazing.
Pictures of weird things. Like... And in those days, you couldn't just like.
You couldn't generate it with.
Generate it yeah. or go to stock images.
Sure.
You would have
no,
to
credit
them.
So you'd have to make.
You'd have to make shit up.
You'd have to put a little hand coming around a box.
And
in
a
the
purple
middle of the
light.
Night.
And
yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to
some
have a
bricks.
Tokolosh footsteps out in the garden. And, you know, it was like that was real journalism. Randberg's son is great for tarred cage liners, says Jethro Hill.
Oh, my gosh.
We've started a thing here. Luckily, we have to go to Dr. Hanan so we can stop this silliness. Are there any other websites you want to tell us about?
Well, there's deepl.com.
Oh, my God. That sounds dodgy as hell.
It's really not.
What
it's
is it?
It's an AI online translator.
Okay.
But this one translates entire phrases, idioms, and even slang. It apparently works way better than any other translator.
Okay.
And then finally, there is 10minutemail.com.
That also sounds dodgy.
you are given a disposable 10-minute email address after you visit it. So you can sign up for a website
you know, people
and then
would
never.
Do. Oh, okay.
Never
I,
have
I thought
to
it
see.
Was.
yeah.
It would give you an anonymous email address to send rude emails to.
No, I got one. Mine was generated as I only know it in Zulu, though.
Okay.
It says Dr. Geekik. gigalamgonkoko@favage.com.
But Leanne, that is your email address. I've memorized it. That has been your email address for 15 years.
Well, it was more than 10 minutes ago, so it's okay. gone now. That is helpful. Then you don't have to subscribe properly to everything before you view a website.
All right, very good. People are asking about Ben. Ben will be in just now, so don't worry. You'll still have your sport on a Friday. Very important. But right now, let us go to Dr. Hanan. Is he there? Yeah. All right, hello, Dr. Hanan.
Welcome, welcome, guys. How does it feel being in the new set?
I love it. Are you kidding? I mean, this is the best thing ever. I've had such a great week. Despite feeling sick on Monday through Wednesday, I am on cloud 9. You know, there's something about like taking control of your own schedule and deciding these are the things I'm going to put into the schedule. these are the people I want to see, the things I want to do. Obviously, within reason, we all have to do things we don't want to do sometimes, or that we're maybe not as excited to do. But that's important. You've got to try. And what's the point of being free if you can't arrange your life at least maximally, you know, within the strictures that you decide are the important ones, right?
100%. How many times do we say, if you're not the chess player of your life, you're a pawn in someone else's?
Correct. So, and I'm not going to let this audience bully me anymore. You know, they're so demanding. And the one thing we've kept exactly in its place at the same time as you, because you know
we
how
need the consistency.
You know how in the mental hospitals the pills arrive at the same time. You gotta have routine. You're gonna have you unstrap Leanne from her bed at exactly the same time every day. Make sure she gets her meals at the same time every day. Make sure she gets to
she
watch the same
coloring
TV. Coloring in all the things Leanne and I need. We gotta keep it exactly the same time. That's you. So I'm very thrilled that you could keep this for us. Okay, so Dr. Hanan, I want to talk to you about something that really it disturbed me, but it also pissed me off quite a lot. There was this story in the news yesterday, I don't know if you saw this, about these two high schools in Roodepoort.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They basically are having a turf war. Well, in the news, they claim the news story was published yesterday in one of the websites that I was on. They said they were fighting about a hoodie.
Oh.
Yeah, these rival pupils from the two schools. So it's Hoërskool Roodepoort,
mm-hmm.
and then another one called something else. It's not in the story in front of me now. But several learners, including the principal, were stabbed.
Jeez.
Stabbed. They took knives to school. Authorities have suspended those involved and promised tighter safety measures, while parents, educators, and community leaders warn that gang activity, social pressures, easy access to weapons are fueling a crisis that threatens to turn classrooms into battlegrounds. So I wanted to know what you think of this. Like, if you're a parent and a good parent, because obviously a lot of these parents are terrible people, but if you're a good parent, you send your kid off to school, you don't expect them to have to deal with stabbings. What the hell's going on here?
So there are a couple of angles to this. And I don't know if you know this, but only 30% of South African youth grow up with both parents in the home.
Yeah.
40% grow up with their mom taking care of them only. So no dad in the house.
Yeah.
How many kids, I wonder, make their beds in the morning? How many kids have chores? How many kids are taught responsibility? How many kids are taught, you know, basic principles and values? And I think we are degrading as a society, and I think we are not serving our kids well. And I'm not just blaming parents, I'm blaming the schools as well. And actually, the kids, whilst they have to take responsibility for their actions, it is the parents at home that teach and impart values. And there's no ways, I do not believe that this final act of violence was just came out of the blue, came out of nowhere. Nobody saw it coming. It's always like, well, I don't know, we didn't see it coming. Oh, really?
Right.
And what did you not see? Something building up way before, and you kind of ostriched it by sticking your head in the sand and pretend that nothing was going on. And then when it finally exploded, it's like, oh my God, how did this happen? So I think parents need to take responsibility, because you should be involved in your children's life. When your child is not doing the homework, or they're getting bad grades, or they are playing too many TV games, or they are not engaging in appropriate ways, not with you, not with dad, not with their friends, speak up. Schools, when you see the child or the youth or the classroom not acting appropriately, or you see individual child, you know, degrading in whatever way, speak up. I think we need to create a culture of principled children. We need to create a culture of proper consequences, proper rewards, proper structure, proper values, and speak up when you see something is going on.
Well, what do you think of my solution? I say bring the parents in of the kids who had the knives and just shambok them in front of the whole school. You think that would be a solution?
Good start.
Ben agrees. Ben, you like that solution.
Yeah, I mean, you got to start somewhere, Gareth. Oh. I think all those points there are fantastic.
I mean, shambuck the parents.
That is the worst idea ever.
You've got to get, get the ball rolling on change. I think.
Leanne, why do you always stomp on my ideas?
Dr. Hanan will tell you why.
Okay. Oh, you're going to deputize Dr. Hanan to do your stomping on my ideas. No,
I'll tell you something quite interesting. I heard, and you can check this out, in the States, I think there's a law that's coming up where children who commit heinous crimes, the parents can be held culpable for their children's crimes. Have you heard of that before?
There was a landmark case involving a school shooting where the parents were actually held jointly and severally liable for the actions of their kids, because these parents are doing a terrible job, right? Ben, you've always
just
said
irresponsible.
This. Ben was ahead
just
of
irresponsible.
The, yeah, I mean, Ben was ahead of the game on this one. He said years ago that if you are under the age of 16 and you commit felonies, your parents should be locked up with you.
Yeah, because then they'll follow through on parenting.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not allowed 100%. To drive drunk, right? I'm not allowed to open up a firearm. So why must you release an absolute toxic waste of a child that you've done badly on into the world to go and ruin their day?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fine line, right, Dr. Hanan? I mean,
I'm not saying it's a perfect theory.
No. And obviously, we're talking about, you know, shambocking the parents in front of the school. But the reality is, what you said at the start of this discussion, you said we got thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of kids in this country who are raised extremely badly. Sometimes it's not the parents' fault, but mostly it is. And I think that once it gets to the point where the kids at the school are so ungovernable that they are stabbing each other and getting knives out. By the way, the headmistress of the one school was stabbed while she was trying to separate kids. And they're talking in the news. This is the thing that drove me crazy. They had some woman on the news from from Action SA or one of the political parties that's trying to muscle in on the action, literally. And they had this person say, well, our solution is that we're going to barricade the street that the two schools meet on. So when they go home from school in the day, they won't be able to walk down the same street.
It's like caging animals instead of...
Yeah, but for me, that's way too late.
Yeah.
For me, that's way too late. Yeah. That kind of dealing with the symptom as opposed to the cause. Just remember, when you talk about any condition, let's talk about addiction. Nobody on day one becomes a drug addict. Nobody on day one smokes 20 cigarettes a day. Nobody on day one, you know, starts becoming violent. It always starts with one cigarette. It always becomes with one drink. It only starts with one line. It only starts with, you know, biting a kid at school when you're 3 years old. And nobody says something, and that escalates to eventually you being a violent kid and being dismembered or rather excommunicated from the community. So the message for parents is pay attention. Get involved. Sit down with your kids and have breakfast, have dinner, speak to your kids in the car when they're on their phone, let them put the phone down, start having conversations. So what did you do today? What did you learn? Share things with me. Who was kind to you? Who was unkind to you? Who is your best friend? Ask how many parents know their children's best friends are what they learned at school.
Can I tell you something? I watched a family the other day. I don't think they knew I was watching them, and it wasn't creepy or weird. It was in a public place. But I saw the mom was on her phone the whole time. Forget the kids being on the phone. The mom couldn't even look at her kids or pay attention to them. She was constantly busy on the phone the whole time. These are the people who are raising the next generation. It's going to be a disaster unless they start paying attention. And you're right, like, pay attention to the kids.
Pay attention. You know, when I see children in my office, I had a 14-year-old child, a naughty child in inverted commas in my office, and I always ask the parents to come with. In this particular session, both parents were on their cell phone doing work while the child was sitting in between them having therapy. And I stopped it right there and then, because how do they expect, and most parents, I guess, expect me to take over and fix their child when they're not prepared to take responsibility. It doesn't work this way. Your child cannot be anybody else's problem or responsibility. You want a healthy child, model that yourself. What children do is they watch mom and dad and they copy paste. Ask yourself, do you live in a world? Do you live within habits? Do you live with your husband or wife and you emulate things that you want your children to become? If you are in a culture or you believe that your children should do what you say, not what you do, you are dreaming. You're living in fantasy world. It doesn't work that way. Children will watch and they will copy paste and you are the model of what your children will become down the line.
Correct. There we go. You see, that's why we have Dr. Kanan on.
Yeah.
He's spot on. Can you imagine the parents of those kids who took knives to school? Imagine what kind of people they are.
They're leaving it to the school to raise their children.
That's the biggest mistake. But even worse, they expect it.
Yeah.
Absolutely expect it. Not my problem from the hours of 7 until 4.
I mean, you know, Dr. Hanan, I'm glad Ben is here for this. And this is Friday, it's going to be a whole mix of things.
Paternal.
No, because Ben was basically...
all of us parents sitting here.
Ben was raised in the wild, Dr. Hanan. He was raised by wolves. And he still turned out all right because he had to teach himself. It was survival of the fittest.
Yeah, well, like survival and a keen curiosity for knowing, I think, are the two things that got me through. But I'm an outlier. I wouldn't suggest my background.
I mean, there are the rare occasions where in absence of paternal guidance or maternal guidance and a survival instinct kick in. But it is, I mean, it's exactly what you just said now. The parents are the copy and paste template for the kids. And we've got a lot to answer for in this country. I know you're right, Leanne. We shouldn't knock parents when neither of the three of us, or none of the three of us, are parents. But
good cat parents, Ben and I.
Well, I don't know. Your cats have always been a little bit odd. But I would say, Dr. Hanan, we're in a position where we can say we're objective. We don't give a shit. We don't have a dog in this fight. So we as representatives of ordinary tax-paying society shouldn't be lumped with your children and your problems. Don't send them our way. What have we done wrong? We didn't ask for this shit.
You know, I always say, rather hear the uncomfortable truth than a pleasurable lie. Nobody's knocking parents. We're just stating that we have a problem. And this is, let's just open up the conversation. Let's put that on the table as one of the perhaps causes, perhaps solutions. Nobody's blaming anybody, but we want a solution. We're not looking inwards. We're not looking backwards. We're looking on how to fix the problem. And if this is a way to experiment, maybe have a home where we teach consequences, where we have rules, where we teach values, we teach culture, we teach right from wrong. And when there's wrong, you get the consequences. When it's right, you get rewarded. Let's just try that. Let's just try that and see what happens.
Right. Okay, thank you, Dr. Hanan. King Clay says, Dr. Hanan's spitting facts. Absolutely right.
May I also ask the level of rugby teams that those schools have?
What do you mean, Ben?
Well, are these kids playing sports? Are they engaging in combat sports, contact sports?
Combat sports?
No, I mean, it's fine.
Well, they're definitely in combat sports. That's where you learn where the knives come in.
That's where you learn real discipline, though. So I want to know, how
much... Do you know why that's very powerful? Because sports emulate life, because ultimately our job as parents is to prepare our kids for the real world. And the real world works with rules, consequences, rewards, and accountability. And that's exactly what sport is about. There are rules, there are rewards for doing well, there are consequences for doing badly, and there's accountability because there's a referee. And that's why sports are an incredible teacher for life. And if we can put more kids in sports, you'll just teach them how the real world works.
See, that wasn't on my bingo card for today. Dr. Hanan and Ben agreeing on something very good. All right, Doc, thank you so much.
I've lived, guys. I've lived. I've met people. I've been to places.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Hanan. Have a good weekend.
Pleasure.
All right. You apparently, too, Westridge, Tinica says, Westridge and Roodepoort are a few blocks apart. A cell phone was stolen, but Westridge came to Roodepoort and attacked learners. These are high school kids. Mm. We used to be right next door to the Afrikaans High School when I was at high school, right? And we didn't really like each other.
Yeah, they are seen as the enemy.
Yeah, but we'd have sports days where we'd be like rivals and there'd be cheerleaders saying shitty things in high school terms.
Yeah, like you suck.
yeah, you suck. Oh, your uniform's cuck. You know, that kind of thing. It wasn't like, I never ever saw a knife or a gun.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and.
Yeah, but you also had the healthy competition. Okay. Better parenting probably as well.
Yeah.
But guys, really, I mean, so I made this little like this docuseries a couple of years ago. It was based around Bosman's Dam High School.
Oh, yeah.
And prior to them becoming a strong rugby school, there was a lot of sort of like scuffles, a little bit of turf war here and there.
Yeah.
And the rugby did set a lot of these kids straight. Simple as that.
I think we should watch that. Is it still around?
Yeah, it's on the Ryobi YouTube channel.
Okay. Well, we must go.
It's like an 8-part series. I went there and I met, like, so there was a woodwork room.
Yes.
Nobody gave a fuck about woodwork. So they converted it into a gym.
Okay.
So then kids got to work out, kids got to play rugby. A lot of them went on to play for like Western Province. One of the kids in that sort of generation is now playing for the Currie Cup Bulls team, Riyad Bam. Stories and stories, but rugby helps these kids have an expression point. It gives them discipline.
Sure.
And it gives them belonging. That's the whole thing, is that there's no belonging, so that you're constantly angry and anxious about things. So you know that you're going to play rugby, and then on Saturday,
yeah, but also,
as
I mean,
a team.
I do think we should really just – we need a small nuclear weapon for places like Roodepoort. like contained. I mean, honestly, I do think Roodepoort has kind of slipped through the cracks, and we're all pretending it's just a normal neighborhood. It's not. It's a terrible place. And I do think some places should just be fenced off, and those people shouldn't be allowed – out, and we shouldn't be allowed in. I really think Roodepoort's one of those places. I've got to say.
I feel like you could have given my story 20 more seconds before you went to that.
Sorry, Ben. I'm very solution-oriented. Roodepoort plays sports. Do not know about the rest. The irony is Roodepoort was Afrikaans, but it's transformed into an English school. Carl De Santos, who I'm thrilled is back in the comment section for our Friday show. I went to the Hull Ha in the South.
Mm.
Leanne knows that one well.
I do. I know the
you
whole.
You had boyfriends there as well, didn't you?
No, but I have family members who went there.
Oh, yeah, but you were in a gang at school. I mean, you're the perfect person to ask. You used to, like, kick other girls and shit.
In primary school, we used to play a game where we said...
Oh, it's always a game for the bully, Leanne.
Yeah.
It's not a game for the
not
victim.
For the kid in the rubbish bin.
Arms and made a line and we'd sing, "We walk straight. You better get out the way. If you don't get out the way, we'll kick you out the way."
Yeah, and you did.
So that's not gangsterism.
You were in a gang. Stop.
Dr. Anand just said it starts with a line.
Yeah.
The line you'll walk there.
Listen, right. It was worse in high school. I grew up in the times of terrible people from that area.
Tell the people, Leanne. Yeah, gangsters.
Not necessarily gangsters,
anyway,
but murderers.
So Carl says, "I went to the hill in the south. If you don't have a knife, you were given one on entry."
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm telling you, the parts of Joburg, like...
We didn't have knives
like
at my school.
Like Roodepoort. Just, you should not... I mean, like, you really should not be... You should not be going there under any circumstances.
I can guarantee you right now, if you start a boxing academy in that school, you'll have less knife crime.
You're probably right. I do think you're
right. My boyfriend, though, did stab a pupil in the head with a pair of scissors.
See?
But that shows that there were no knives.
This is
proof.
Yeah, that was more stationary than weapons.
This is like the London Metropolitan Police saying, "Yeah, we don't have a lot of gun crime." But then it turns into knife crime. And when you take away the knives, then they find pens or whatever else, and they stab each other with those.
Exactly.
You know, shitty people will always find a weapon, right?
Always.
They'll break a mug.
Well, look at prison.
Prison. Shanks.
Yeah.
They'll make a shank out of anything. Patrick says, except Julius gets nightmares with woodwork. Oh, that's true. But Julius Malema. Are we still making jokes about him and his woodwork marks? It's been like 15 years.
I had forgotten about that.
I think it's like an old classic. You bring it back here and
okay.
there.
Okay. So it's still got legs. Yeah. Leanne seems like she was a horrible teenager, says Hugh.
Well, that's my brother's recollection.
Really?
I thought I was okay.
Oh, he also thought you were a horrible person.
He did. He said I was the worst.
Okay. Have you seen the knives they sell at China Mall? They should be banned, says Marius. China Mall has like a knives section?
They've got
section?
All kinds of shit.
They've got everything from, you can buy probably an aeroplane, underwear.
You could probably buy military
grade. Security grade. Fencing, whatever you need.
Yeah, fencing. I finally know. I was thinking about fencing the other day. You just solved the problem for me, Leanne. China Mall. But I don't think you could find anything at the China Mall.
Mm. Well, you can't find high quality electronics.
You can find cheap ones.
Yes.
That will break after about a week and a half.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay, and then Marius, go to England if you want to ban knives, says Bitcoin, but getting very iffy about this for some reason. Our rival boys' schools in Durban amalgamated. That must have been a shit show for a while, says Durban Dope. Now it's all good, apparently. Just the old boys have a dig at each other.
Which is also fine, which is normal.
I think there's a healthy kind of rivalry and competition, which is best contained in the rules of sport. And it's a game, and people have to learn game theory, and you have to learn victory conditions, and you have to abide by the rules, right? And there's a uniform, and you know you're on this team, they're on that team, and it's contained. It's like, starts here, ends here.
Yeah.
But if you don't have that, then people will find their own games, and it could involve stabbing the headmistress because there are no rules.
It's a good point you make, the victory conditions.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just got anarchy in life.
Correct. All right. Well, we've got everything except anarchy happening on Fridays. I mean, we've got quite a chock-a-block thing going on here. So before I let Leanne go, I just wanted to make sure that we've come. Oh, I did promise you I'd show you that woman, invitation woman.
The woman who declines invitations.
Right. So I've decided I'm advertising for a post for somebody who's going to answer all my invitations. This is my RSVP lady, and she's terrific. Okay, take a look.
She is. Who the fuck does she think she is? I don't want to go to your fucking barbecue, darling. And I will put whatever I fucking want on the internet. I'll be putting aside more. Are you invited to the barbecue?
What are you shouting at me for?
Are you invited to a fucking barbecue?
Probably.
You can shove it up your fucking ass and up hers. And I'll tell you what. Tell her to say it to my fucking face, because if I see her, she better fucking hide. Wow. You fucking lapping it up and all. And I've already told you, ain't ya?
What?
I've already told you that Keith can fuck off and all. Wait, if I fucking see him and all.
Alright.
If he shows his face and it. Oh, this woman's fucking getting right under my skin. She's getting right under my fucking skin. You better tell her to fuck off.
I love the way she keeps moving forward on the chair.
It feels like she's going to come for you.
She's going to come at you,
but also
right?
She's got angels on the wall behind her.
I know. It's always those ones. Yeah. You least expect.
But like the main portrait behind, is that when she was a child?
I think she went to Rudaport. I've got to be honest.
With someone that she killed.
I think that's a very disturbing picture.
If you look at the picture behind her, that's like her as an angelic child.
Yeah, it's
I mean, as a six-year-old, she was telling people to fuck off.
All right, well, we've got a brand new show, Fridays for 3 hours, and we've only got through 1 hour so far, so you've got two more to come. And as I said on, I think it was Monday's show this last week, I said, if you feel that you are, you know, you're hard done by, you could always split the show into half hours. You get one for every day of the week.
That's true.
And then you get a bonus on a Saturday.
Mm.
Isn't that great? So Flex and I have done the calculations, and we've decided, well, 30 minutes, you get two of those for every hour. We've got 3 hours.
Gareth,
6 days.
We've worked it out. You and numbers don't go.
I want to show
it.
I'm showing you my work, Ben. You know how sometimes people want you to show the work, how you get to the answer? That's what I like to do.
You guys get something better once.
I brought paper and a pen, and I'm going to show you how I do the work.
Get it while it's hot. That's like telling a fat person, here is a slab of chocolate. Now you have this much every single day, and it'll last you the whole week. It's like,
they're not
going to
do it, right?
Just don't be stupid.
Okay. Before you go, Leanne,
yes.
Do want Ben to share this lovely story with us. Apparently, you know, we're always looking for inspiration, especially on a Friday. There's a woman who had terminal cancer. She got a divorce, and she slept with 200 oaks.
Good on her, but did it cure her cancer?
No. Did nothing for the cancer. The cancer was by the by. She just decided.
It's exactly like what happened to me, except the cancer.
Okay, well, I'll let you go then.
Thanks.
All right, have a happy day.
I've got more men to do.
You've got a busy schedule ahead. Jesus. What's all this shit that camera? You carry?
She's staying hydrated. She's got two bottles.
I have a bag.
James, show her where to go. I'm telling you, we should have put my desk on that side. I'm happy with her walking just straight on. Okay, you just walk past. Like, here we go. Like, here, Leanne just grabs her shit.
Gareth, you make a very good point, but also, where the hell are we?
It's
Santon of the future.
Yeah, that's how Santon would look if we didn't have the cuck government that we have.
Ah, okay, that's
smart. Leanne.
Bye, Leanne.
Have a happy day. Leanne was saying that the traffic on a Friday is much better than a Monday, and she's thrilled. So I told her that's the whole reason we're doing the show on a Friday.
Yeah, although I had some traffic coming in here. Sorry, do you want to just touch on that story about that woman who got cancer?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely. We're not leaving it at that. This is a real story?
Yeah, it's a real story, but it's old now, of course.
Listen, I mean, if you have terminal anything, which kind of all of us do because, you know, life is a zero-sum game. At the end of it, you know, we're all dying at a different rate, but you should fill every day with what means something to you.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
I'm kind of not sure if she's an inspiration or she's just like Bonnie Blue.
So I don't think it's quite the Bonnie Blue because she didn't line them up. She had like what
and
she
she's
called.
She's not doing it for clout.
So she called it a sexual awakening, as all people try to do. They try to make it sound like it's something that's worth endorsing. But it's not. I mean, you basically threw it around for a bit. Sorry, let's not find her name here because...
Okay, do we know a lot about this woman? How old she is?
Well, she's dead now, Gareth. I mean, she got the... So her name was Molly Cocken.
I'm sorry?
Molly Cocken.
You're joking.
And so at the age of 33, she was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer.
So she had Cocken in her surname.
She did already, yeah. Stage 4 terminal cancer. And then, so 33. So I know it's a cool headline. She got divorced so she could just basically throw a beaver around. But her and her husband probably weren't on the best terms. And then she's like, okay, look, I'm going to die.
She got a divorce.
I'm going to die. We're not going so great. Let's just part ways now. Cool for him as well, I guess.
Yeah, he didn't have to like nurse her or...
Yeah. Okay. So then she and her best mates, she for 5 years, the remaining 5 years that she lived, she basically put 200 oaks away.
Okay, but you say she had a friend?
Yeah, I mean she was in the mix. So there's a show now. They've made a show on
like
Hulu.
A Broadway show?
No. Like an actual TV show. So Molly's story is called
I'm going down the street today to fuck as many men as I can. I could write that musical. That would be hilarious.
So for 5 years, where she went through these 200 Oaks, there's now a series called Dying for Sex, and it's her story. And then she died at 38, I think it was.
So part of me wants to be sad, and the other part of me is like, you go, girl.
Well, it asked the question, if you were diagnosed right today, someone said to you, Gareth, you've got stage 4 ball cancer. Good luck. Like, what would you do? Like, what would your life be?
Well, that's actually, I'm glad you brought that up. That's why we're doing the show one day a week. No, I'm kidding. You know, I love dark humor. No. I think I'd pretty much live the life I'm living right now. Well, I have a, you know, I have spent a lot of time with family. I'm reading a lot. I'm listening to good music. I'm learning interesting things.
Because there has been urgency about those days that you enjoy.
You think I'd have to speed that up?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
maybe one of the things that people would do.
I'm not forcing you into a plan.
No. So you often hear from people, well, I would travel to places that I really haven't been to and I want to see desperately. Bucket list. That's the whole point of a bucket list.
That's the whole thing
of
a bucket list, yeah.
I would tell my ex-girlfriend from 3 years ago how I really felt about her. Kind of, I don't know. I don't have any of those.
See, I would never do that because then it's just guilt on her part. And then she doesn't know how to live her life anymore.
No, but I've
just, yeah.
Well, I've done something similar where I just said thank you to.
Yeah, I say thank you to people.
Yeah,
but like the whole thing.
I'm talking about travel maybe. Maybe there'd be. I mean, I don't think I'd just sleep with strangers.
Yeah, because you've had your 20s, much like I had.
I had a good time in my 20s. I don't think that I have regrets. I would say it's probably a bad idea to just have meaningless sex with 200 people. But I mean, okay, so how picky are you? Because no, I wouldn't want prostitutes. I wouldn't want strangers. What is the quality of these people?
I think that would make me want to die quicker if I had to bring that sort of debauchery into my life.
I mean, you have an ad in the classifieds. Do you go on Tinder and say available between this hour and this hour? Just ring the doorbell at number 25.
Yeah, but again,
and then someone pitches up, and you're like,
so for
that's
her,
not what I want.
So for her,
I die.
To get back to her story, to get back to Molly's story, is that she probably never had that sort of. Maybe she got married young. And maybe she put all her life into this guy who then became very boring. And then she's like, jeepers, I just really want to fucking rail a bunch of guys.
I'm happy for Molly if she found it meaningful and it gave her a degree of fun.
Well, it also got her mind off dying.
Sure.
That's another thing that she said.
You got to keep busy.
Yeah.
And I'd have heard this from, you know, if people who lose someone or people who themselves are on their way out. You've got to keep your mind occupied. You've got to keep yourself busy. So if this is what Molly wanted to do, good for her. I'm just saying I don't think this would be my bucket list plan.
So your 5 years with your ball cancer are just going to be you being you, and maybe with a touch more travel.
Probably a little more, travel and adventure. I would be even more picky about who I spend time with, because I do think it's about who, not about where or when.
Yeah.
And I think I would just do what I'm already doing. I pretty much say what I think all the time. And I see the people I want to see. It's whorish, not a sexual awakening, especially with that surname, says Vyasan.
Yeah.
Sounds like she got tons of vorse and divorce, says Carl.
Divorce, then the vorse.
No, that's clever.
It always goes back to, I mean, you've said this many times before. It's like, it just proves that when it comes to the sex, the woman make the choice. I mean, the caliber of Oak probably wasn't high. She probably went to a lot of restaurants, picked up a lot of waiters.
Yeah.
Struggling actors.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that kind of niche.
Bitcoin Boot says, if Gareth gets ball cancer, he's ending the show. Apparently ball cancer, it's not one of the bad ones. You can have that sorted. You just have your balls cut out.
Oh, Lance Armstrong.
I mean, most guys that I've met in Johannesburg have had their balls cut out anyway, either by themselves or their wives or their bosses. So I think we've got an epidemic in Johannesburg. You know, one place that people have got balls is Roodepoort. Let's be honest. Marpello says, on Friday last week, I went out to meet friends at a lounge in Morningside. Lounge? Sounds dodgy. Someone spiked my drink and I blacked out for 8 hours. I woke up at home around 7 o'clock without my phone. Marpello, what kind of place was this?
And who took you home?
And how long have you known Molly? Oh, she's dead, you said. So it couldn't have been her.
Yeah, Molly died a while ago.
No, we don't blame her. But Marpello, that sounds dodgy as hell. If Gareth gets ball cancer, I love that this has become a subject. Carl says, if Gareth gets ball cancer, this will become a 1 hour show. For only that reason, I hope he doesn't get it. Thanks. Oh, it's called the Roman Lounge. Is that right? Slippery Pickle says.
That sounds like you're going to get a sore bum.
Yeah. Are you okay, though? I mean, in all seriousness, you blacked out for 8 hours?
That's really
bad. Woke up without your phone at home? So you obviously had the wherewithal to know where you lived.
Or someone does.
And now someone else does, too. That scares the hell out of me. I don't like that at all. Okay, Ben makes us feel sad and talk about Drickus the Box and the Floatiers. Okay, so let's get into this because Ben sent me a message on Saturday last week. So he was sad. And I saw your clip on Monday where you were trying to hype everybody up again.
No, I sent you a message about being sad on Friday night after a golf day I went to.
Oh.
That was different.
So that was a different thing.
No, completely different.
I thought it was sport related, but I obviously had the wrong sport.
No, I went to this golf day, and it's just that, you know, I don't want to get into that because that's soap in the past. Let's get into the weekend
of
sports.
Well, now you've tweaked my interest. I thought I knew what it was about. I thought it was about the rugby, Drickus, the cricket. We had a shit weekend in sports. I know a lot of people have moved on.
Yes.
But maybe this is what you need to hear.
And so they should. But yeah, the weekend was particularly shit, and it was shit for so many reasons because a lot of people, as you know, don't have a lot of stuff to cheer about or be excited about or be positive about.
Yeah.
And sports like that really cool outlet, you know. And as South Africans, we've just become so used to winning and having this this mini accessible euphoria. Yep. And that got stripped away from us. But it wasn't just like stripped away from us. It was yanked away from us. The Proteas lost, but that happens from time to time because they play more matches. Yeah,
we've got a little more resistance there.
But it's also like cricket has – it's not really as high stakes, okay? Yeah. It's just not. Like right now, so they played a T20 series against the Aussies, and now they're playing an ODI series against the Aussies. So it's playing six games in like a month, okay? So it's not high stakes. But – we don't lose at Ellis Park. The Springboks lost to Ellis Park to a bunch of Wallabies, but thrashed. Like, as in, they wasn't even close. And then Drikus basically got manhandled. Like, he got bullied by a man. And I, for one, learned quite a lot about MMA in that fight because I thought Drikus had decent wrestling skills. But he doesn't have Kamzat Chechen Chimaev wrestling skills. Yeah. And it was so humbling to watch because there's nothing he could do about it. And Drikus being Drikus, he lost it. He didn't get finished.
Sure.
He spent the longest time ever against this guy that anyone else has, but he didn't have an answer to the skill set this guy had. He didn't get beaten up. He wasn't mauled. It's just that he was absolutely outclassed. And that in itself really hits home. Like, I was in the sauna yesterday with a guy. And he says, like, I'm still depressed about this. Like, Drikus is my hero.
And I think a lot of people are, and normally I would make fun of that and say, well, it's stupid, you should take sports so seriously. But as you rightly point out, for some people, this is the one thing they look forward to in the week, is South Africa winning somewhere. I mean, we're not winning anywhere else. So
I mean, Gareth, I kind of agree with you. Like, I used to be live and die about sports, and I have balanced over the years. But then I see people around me all the time. People ask me about stuff all the time, and then it always reminds me how important it is.
It's balance, right? And by the way, Bitcoin Boot, who watches your show on The Bounce, says you're just repeating the same speech from your own show. So at least...
No, I'm not. At least you know. I said nothing.
Don't get aggressive, Ben. No, I hate when people
I hate when people talk out their ass. Okay, I did not talk about this on my show this week. All I said was that we had a cuck weekend, but now we were setting it straight. And then we spoke about rugby and positivity. I did not get into the granular details as I have here.
Limited edition says, Gareth, you look like a school principal with that shirt on, and Ben is like the scholar in the shorts.
He's about to get stabbed, then.
All right, well, at least I'm not the principal of Rudapwit. Those poor people.
Yeah, guys, so just to wrap it up, it was a shit weekend, but we always have to come back. And, like, you can't think that you can't think that being a champion and being into winning is an easy game.
No, sure.
So you can't just go, oh, sport sucks. Like,
I
guys,
think
this
it's
is part
about
of the
balance, because if you live and die by how well your team does, whatever your team is, you know, like, James is a moron about Liverpool. God knows. Do you have any connection to Liverpool at all, James? Switch on your – we've got a camera in there now. You have to see him in flex. We call it the Todd Cage.
James listened to one Beatles song out of like, by mistake.
Is it because of Paul McCartney?
Yeah.
I met a Scouser last week. No. We can't hear you.
Is it because Ringo Starr banged some chick in Jeffrey's Bay? Like, what is
What is the story?
Thing funnier. My dad went to Liverpool when I was really, really young, and he brought me back a shirt.
And he brought you some merchandise.
Yeah.
And now you've just you, but at least you've been loyal to that one team forever, right?
I have through thick and thin.
Okay, so you're not a great example for what I'm going to say now. But anyway, I brought it up because you love Liverpool. The fact is, I know grown men who will their whole weekend will be ruined by their team not doing well. Okay, because they. All of their happiness, all of their joy, everything about their whole week, their weekend, their month, their life, will all be dependent on those people who don't even know he or she exists, okay?
But that's
not good.
People have the same if their wives are being cunty for a weekend, their entire life falls
in. Yeah, but you are actually married to her.
People are married to the clubs, married to the journey.
Ben, it's balanced. So while I'm appreciative of the fact that for some people – it is difficult to find things to be positive and optimistic about. You know, maybe politics and the news make people like that. So you look forward to sport. I get it. I'm totally okay with that. I think I'm on board with people being excited about sport. But when it is, it will ruin your whole weekend and you will become a curmudgeonly awful person to be around
because I agree with you.
Your favorite team failed. I think there's an amount of immaturity that comes in there that we need to be aware of as well.
Especially within loss. I think that's the point that I was making, which I haven't made before, but Coin Puts, is that you've got to embrace you've got to embrace and fight back from defeat. So rather than get really upset about something, I mean, I saw people like, oh, you know, comes out, is so boring, he's a wrestler, it shouldn't be allowed. It's like, no, it's fucking mixed martial arts. He just, yeah, his martial art was stronger on the day than Dricker's. Appreciate that and move on and support the Oak to come back.
Sure.
It's like the Springboks. They got it wrong. They're
playing
a fucking terrible.
What I really don't like, just by the way, is a whole bunch of people who never liked Dricker's from the start going, oh, yeah, this is great. Fuck you, Dricker's supporters.
Yeah, but that's also you get people who just hate white people.
Oh, is that what it is?
Also that. Well, we saw the controversy. So when Dricker's fought against Sean Strickland, he had a shirt that said Trump prefers champions, right?
Right.
Because, as you know, Trump prefers champions. His opponent was an American guy.
Mm.
There's no bigger fuck you in the preamble than to say, right, my president likes me more, an outsider.
Yeah.
And then people were drilling him about the whole farming thing. And he's like, yeah, I like the fact that Trump's putting attention onto this. So what did that make him? A racist. Oh. So now you get all these fucking people who don't know sports and mostly hate white guys. Let's be honest. That's a huge horde of them on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's like the Kiffner said it best. If you are white, rich, and opinionated, there's a very good chance a certain sector of online is going to hate you.
Yes.
They don't know anything about you, they're going to hate you.
Yes.
I mean, there's some stupid woman, like I put a post out because sport is important to me. Some stupid woman's like, I hate this boxer, and because he's racist, we should never support him beforehand. It's like, okay, you're retarded because he's not a boxer. He's a mixed martial artist. So the fact that you can't even get that first thing right,
yeah,
it tells me you're going to get a lot of other things wrong too.
Well, maybe it was Wendy. Wendy in the comments says, so Ben, what's with social media saying there was cheating in the fight?
No cheating whatsoever. Kamzat was just better. Kamzat had a skill set that Dricker's couldn't counter, and therefore he went on to win. That is the story. But the other part of the story is Dricker's is going to come back stronger, smarter, and that's something to get behind. Don't sulk. Don't mope.
No. You bet. You can't always be winning. You know, otherwise,
sometimes
if you don't have a contrast, a song has to have a chorus and a verse. Can't be fucking chorus the whole time. Oh. And it's not a song.
And then maybe because I'm just an optimist around sport and I feel like I'm experienced now. Like, this week's been happy for me, actually.
Oh, yeah?
I'm excited about how they come back from this. I'm excited about the sort of texture to the story now.
Yeah.
So, like, the Springbok team this week, only five Oaks that played last week are playing in this one. So, wholesale changes. And they take on the Wallabies 5 o'clock on Saturday in Cape Town. Now, the weather's been shit the whole week, so expect a tighter game anyway, which will help the Boks because we were too loose last week. It was simple as that. We're too loose.
A lot of people very excited about Cape Town. It's
great.
Yeah, nice place to play rugby, and there's lots of excitement around it. Yeah,
it's really great because now the balance is that there's so much respect for Australia that is well earned.
Sure,
you've got the Boks on a backlash. They simply cannot lose this match.
Yes,
I guess this is what we love about sport. It's absolute high stakes.
Uh-huh.
And it's just so damn exciting. Like, so Sia Khaleesi's out for about a month, injured his knee, which is a big worry because he's had historic knee injuries and he is a bit later in his career. So right. Jesse Creel comes in as captain. And then to make it extra tight, they've got Hondre Pollard and Vili Leroux. So how things work in the axis of...
Isn't Hondre busy selling insurance products? Is he doing that as well?
Well, I mean, he's an ambassador for whatever the company is. Okay. I think it's called Pollard.
Yeah, it's named after him.
Pollen, not Pollard.
Well, the first part, the first four letters are the same.
I mean, if Hollard was smarter, they could have had a bit of a bit of a story with Andre.
All right, good. I see what you mean.
Put the P in it. Anyway. So Andre Pollard will start at 10, Vili at 15. So you get a lot smarter decision-making, a tighter match, just because that's the structure of how they play. So that's 5 o'clock. And then the All Blacks will be taking on Argentina again. All Blacks hammered Argentina in the first game in Argentina, and that'll be at 11 o'clock. And then, you know, while this is all going on, of course, Rugby Championship takes a break next week, but then we've got the SA in New Zealand, Argentina in Australia. So it goes on for quite a while, this tournament. But the Currie Cup is still going on. And right now, if you look at the log, very interestingly poised. After four matches, the Cheetahs.
Oh, yeah, they're on top. I haven't heard from them for a long time.
Borland on second.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the Borland's got a team. It's not just Oaks and Pupsucks hanging around Wellington. Borland is a traditionally strong rugby area, and they've got a team that's now second in the Currie Cup. Then the Lions are there, and then Griquas. So in the bottom four, these teams are in absolute turmoil right now. I know it's only four games, early days. The Pumas are in fifth. The Bulls are fucking around in sixth. Western Province looked lost in seventh. Jeez. And then the Sharks are bottom of the log.
Wow.
Western Province and the Sharks haven't won a game yet.
Huh.
So that's all to play for. Friday, today, Pumas versus the Borland at 5. Sharks versus Western Province, the bottom of the table clash. That'll be at 10 past 7. Saturday, the big one, Cheetahs versus the Lions. That'll be at 2, obviously before the big game. So you can start watching rugby from 2 o'clock, which is so damn exciting. And then Sunday, Bulls versus Griquas at Loftus, 3 o'clock.
Okay, Bitcoin Butts back.
Sure, bring it.
Ben... It's just a question this time. He's not looking for a fight. Who do you think Drickus will fight next? And then he also says, I'm getting to ready to release a podcast. Can't wait for the hate. Now, I'll answer that second part, and you can come back to his question about who Drickus will fight next.
Yeah.
Hang on. Bitcoin But, no. We've said moratorium on new podcasts. Remember?
Mm.
So it's time is up. We are not allowing any more podcasts with peace and love. Cancelled. All new podcasts are cancelled. There are no more. We do not have capacity on planet Earth for any more podcasts. The podcast universe is full. It is chock-a-block. You should know that when Meghan Markle and Big Mike and a whole bunch of other people started their podcasts, really, it's enough. We've even had to trim ours back to accommodate all the podcasts that are out there.
No more. Yeah.
Absolute moratorium. Sorry, Bitcoin But, you missed the deadline. This is like getting your kid enrolled in grade one in Gauteng. It's impossible. Once your kid's not enrolled in time, you just don't get your kid to school. You have to homeschool them or they have to go in the mines. That's all you got.
Yeah.
Those are your options. Just like that. It's like at the university when you go to like, a shitty university like Wits or something, and you can't get in, and then the kids are being pushed up against the fences, and there's no room inside, and then they have to study.
Yeah, I kind of feel you've made this. I think you've nailed it.
Have I made the point?
I think you have.
No more podcasts, for the love of God. No more with the podcasts. Thank you. Now, to your question from Bitcoin.
It's very difficult to see who Drickus will fight next, because he's not going to get a rematch with Kamza for two reasons. I think it would be silly to do so with the current abilities, unless he has a wrestling masterclass that can condense 5 years into one. I don't think it was close enough fight to justify a rematch, so there's also that.
Uh-huh.
And secondly, I think there's a couple of guys that are coming up through middleweight right now who maybe need to be fought. And this is UFC MMA is the toughest thing in the world, because you could be a champion, and as soon as you're not champion, it's almost like fights are harder. We've seen past champions fall so hard. And Drickus is 31. Again, he lost this fight, but he's still very much in his own fate in his hands about where he goes with this. It's just that particular style that he fought against, he's not equipped for currently.
But he's the kind of guy, and you've told me a lot about, well, in fact, everything I know about Drickus I heard from you. He's now going to go off and study this and become more proficient at dealing with that kind of fight than he would be about more traditional stuff he's been doing.
The most worrying thing for me is that his coach had an interview the very next day where he said, I already know what we're going to do. That, to me, is a very bad look. I think I'll use hubris to be nice. You don't know what to do against that guy yet. Don't tell me you have a plan. You can't have watched this fight and then gone, oh, yeah. No, we got this now. Yeah. There is levels and levels as to how you unpack this. And I'm very worried that his coach is that confident that they're just going to get back in camp and do it. No, there needs to be, I think, a lot of thoughts, a lot of structure that goes into how you approach this particular style.
Well, talking about style, we've got a couple of changes, obviously, to the show. It's now a 3-hour show on a Friday, and we had a meeting with the producers. James is definitely, there's a lot of pressure. Flex, you were in the meeting, weren't you? James is under huge pressure to get Machoshas. Because we feel like that was a promise that was made to the audience, which he needs to deliver on.
I just thought it happened already.
We need a Machosha, right, James? Correct. Right. And you're on it.
I was going to say something, but it was going to come out
really
weird.
But James is in a serious relationship. Should he be really...
I'm glad you brought this up, Ben. Ben reckons that you went to Jeffreys Bay with your girlfriend to introduce her to the parents.
Engagement capital of the Eastern Cape.
Engagement capital of the Eastern Cape. And that this is there was a proposal. Is this true, James?
I cannot confirm nor deny.
Yeah. Which is cool. I mean, like, James, we're all here for it.
But the puppy? Okay, so I just want to say
As soon as I saw the puppy, I knew something was happening. Told me the revelation. He had a girlfriend, and then it was meeting the parents. I mean, three strikes. You're engaged.
All right, so...
What was the third strike?
The puppy. You took your fiancé to Jeffrey's bed and meet your parents, James.
He's getting all coy about this suddenly.
How many more dots are you going to join here?
Yeah,
that's fair.
It wasn't even breadcrumbs; it was like bread loaves.
You know, there's this thing. It was part of an. I mean, it was an ad campaign, effectively, but I think it was some American jewelry store said you have to spend the equivalent of 3 months' salary on an engagement ring. You know that?
Yeah.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all bullshit because...
Completely.
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't spend anything you can't afford on a decoration because that's what it is. In fact, you will have a better story, and I know some girls are going to hate this, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you're going to get engaged to somebody that you really love, it shouldn't be about the ring. I know a lot of women show off their rings on Instagram now.
Well, that's a different story, Gareth.
And then some show their rings off on OnlyFans. Yeah, sure. But this idea that it's actually for you to compare your ring to other girls and their engagement rings is just, it's insane.
Yeah, but you don't want your wife to be to feel like shortchanged here because she is going to... Those women in the side, those cackling women on the side,
let them determine the nature of your relationship.
I know.
Big mistake if you let those cackling hens.
Put it this way. If you get to a stage like that with women, you should weed those friends out by that stage.
Yes.
If you're proposing to someone who has
Send them to Roodepoort.
Yeah.
And then close the doors. I'm telling you, this Roodepoort thing has got me thinking that we actually may have a solution here. For all the terrible people, the ones that we talk about on the show sometimes, and we go, what do we do with them? We have a fence off around those two schools, fence the area off, let people in if they're terrible, do not let them out again. It's a one-way revolving door.
So you want Roodepoort to be Guantanamo Bay, basically?
I think Roodepoort's our Guantanamo Bay. That's exactly right. Spot on, Ben. It's a solution. I'm solution-oriented. What can I say?
I have a question before we go to the break.
We have to go to a break?
We do, but before
what's
do,
the question?
Is Roodepoort a good place to get married?
Is Roodepoort... Okay, well, since you chose Jeffreys Bay as the place for your engagement, James, I think that Roodepoort is definitely in the offing for you.
Got you.
I think you'd get venues very cheap. I don't know anyone who got married in Roodepoort. Being very disparaging about someone's special place.
There could be a very nice face brick guest house
There could be a nice face brick church. There could be a garden of aloes or something. Succulents of some sort that people might want to get married in. Did you see the story just before we go to the break?
So why are we going to a break? 7:40.
We got to break the show at some point. We've got to cut it in half somewhere. So we thought rather break at 7:30.
Okay.
And we do one break and then... Anyway, don't tell me what to do, Ben.
I was asking.
Did you see that story about the garden in somewhere in Limpopo, some little town, and there was a leopard in these people's back garden?
Wow.
And the leopard attacked the gardener.
Yeah.
He's okay, thank goodness. But
How's the leopard?
Well, the leopard's... Don't know. I don't. They were very sketchy about the details there. Did they have it put down? Did it escape? Did it get out and run into the fields and carry on with its life? They weren't sure about the leopard. The outcome of the leopard story is still not disclosed. But I often think, you know, I'll sometimes go for a pee in the garden. I don't think about leopards.
You hope not.
But wouldn't it be wild? If suddenly, you know, I'm standing in the garden, Alice, the little dog, is running around, and then suddenly there's a fucking leopard It's not a good idea. This is the one of the truly exciting things about living in South Africa. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a second. Ben's here. We've got lots of other good stuff to get to. Mash is on his way a little bit later on, and plenty more. It's our Friday show live, the Gareth Cliff Show. It is the weekend, baby.